For the many Americans intrigued by China after the United States reestablished contact in the 1970s, Zhou Enlai was the country's best face. Zhou was considered silken, where Mao Zedong was brutal. Zhou was from a Mandarin family, studied in Paris, and had exquisite manners. But he cast his future with China's masses, joined Mao's communist reorganization, and became prime minister from the creation of the People's Republic of China in 1949 until his death in 1976. He ran his country's foreign policy and was considered the architect of China's approach to the West. But a book published in Hong Kong this year supplies a revisionist look at Zhou Enlai. It's called Zhou Enlai's Later Years, and it's quickly jumped to the top of China's banned book list. John Pomfret writes for the Washington Post and heads their Beijing bureau. He joins us from our offices in Beijing. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
And help us understand first, how sacred, if I might use that word, is this memory of Zhou Enlai to Chinese?
That's the perfect word, actually. He is basically the last god in their pantheon. Mao, according to the Chinese officialdom, committed 30% mistakes and 70% of his stuff was correct. Mm-hmm. Deng, of course, brought them Tiananmen Square. In addition, though, he also helped with great reforms and lots of economic growth. But Zhou is the last one among the top leaders to have escaped any criticism whatsoever. Mm-hmm. He's the last good communist.
Well, it was written by a man named Gao Wenjian, who'd been an official of the Communist Party.
Yes. Mr. Gao worked for 13 years inside the communist system in a place called the Communist Party's Central Documents Office, which is involved in handling all the documents pertaining to all the senior leadership. And Mr. Gao's particular specialty was Zhou Enlai. So Mr. Gao was perfectly positioned to speak with very, very serious authority about what Zhou's activities were during the Cultural Revolution.
Let me ask you about some of this new bill of particulars, in a sense, against Zhou Enlai. I guess it was taken as a accepted fact for years that he had helped protect some people during the Cultural Revolution. Is this strictly true?
That strictly is true. But what Mr. Gao alleges and contends in his book is that this idea of Zhou being the fellow who protected China's intelligentsia and struggled on their behalf during the Cultural Revolution is an exaggerated, very much exaggerated idea. Mm-hmm. And then he claims that Zhou, in actual some cases, was involved in purging people very aggressively. And in others, he was only protecting people basically who would not run up against any trouble.
You know, so many of us can recall significant historical photographs of Mao Zedong and Zhou Enlai together, with Henry Kissinger, with President Nixon, grinning and shaking hands and seeming to be partners. I guess this doesn't tell the whole story, does it?
No. The main point of Mr. Gao's book is that he writes almost a psychoanalysis of Mao's relationship with Zhou. And the conventional wisdom was that Mao and Zhou were partners. They were sort of the yin and yang of China. As you said, Mao was brutal, whereas Zhou was silken. But they worked very closely together. And this book reveals the intense competition and also almost the master-slave quality to the relationship, where Zhou, by the end of his life, was so Confucian in his loyalty to Mao that he would almost unquestionably do things that Mao asked, and sometimes horrible things that Mao asked for him to do.
Such as?
Well, at a certain point, he signed arrest documents for his own flesh and blood, his own relatives.
I realize I'm asking you to project into the future, but what's your feeling, Mr. Pomfret, for how the historical image of Zhou Enlai will bear up or not under this book?
I think this is the beginning of an important part of historical archaeology for the Chinese and for the Chinese historians. The official histories have kept Zhou as this lily-white character for a very long time. But this book, because it brings together so many disparate criticisms of the man and paints a portrait of him which is so different from the official portrait. This portrait depicts Zhou as somewhat craven, power-hungry, a man with normal appetites and tastes, and to the Chinese, Zhou was always considered a god. And in fact, some of the older Chinese people whom I've met who've read this book said it completely befuddled them and really shocked them.
I have to ask, though, if there have been several generations of people who have been force-fed such a different portrait of Zhou Enlai, why don't people just laugh the book off and say it's nonsense, like the front page of the National Enquirer?
One of the problems in China is that there's an accepted idea of what's happened in history, but that's an accepted idea that's force-fed, and there's a brittleness to that acceptance because it has been force-fed. And as soon as a relatively logical alternative idea comes along, it's often considered much more powerful and acceptable because it's not force-fed. And that's the problem that the party has when it tries to create its official version of events. Because it is an official version, therefore, by its nature, it's relatively brittle and easily swept away by another alternative view.
John Pomfret of the Washington Post in Beijing. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.